What's up, everybody? It's your boy Kunal coming back at you for another beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
That's like every YouTuber.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back, everyone, my friends, to the Late Nights with Trav and Lois and Chaz and Kunal and Helen show.
Ba, ba, da, ba. Da,
da, da. This is part two. So yeah. If you haven't heard last week, you missed out on some incredible radio. And this week, we're going to follow it up with even more incredible radio. So let's just pick up right where we left off. Chaz, question three of the questionnaire.
Question three. Moving
right.
Right?
That's where we were.
Here.
We yes. got It was 40 minutes of episode one. We got through two questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So number three. Do you think you are living the way you want? There's so much in that question.
Just a reminder, this is a questionnaire about a bag, you know, from a bag
right,
company.
Right, oh, which we have serious doubts about. Do you think you are living...
The way. You want.
Bon Jovi. All right. Who wants to feel this one first? Helen, are you living the way you want?
Yeah.
I'd say probably about 80%.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I spent some time.
Yeah.
Actually doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did like a value finding exercise.
Is this
exhaustive?
Since we've spoken on your episode previous, or is that before that?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
And then I actually started making moves. So the big question is like, are you doing something daily that speaks to your values? If the answer is no, then start.
Can you give me an example of what your values are?
Yeah. So my number one is probably independence.
Mm-hmm.
So I seek independence a lot. So I tend to be, you know, at work, I tend to be the person that likes to do projects where I'm the sole contributor. And I like that. I like the responsibility. I like the duty. I like that satisfaction you get after shipping it and saying, like, I did that. Like, me. So, yeah, I love that. And then I kind of live my life like that. I don't depend on anybody.
Is that something you have to fight for or is it naturally? Or?
No, I think you do have to fight for it. Like, I think a lot of people by nature... And this is nothing, this is just the difference between me and other people, right? Like, people tend to be more social than probably I would be.
Okay.
So I spend a considerable amount of time alone. I seek solitude. I just like that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped feeling guilty for it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like searching for hobbies that kind of speak to that. And it's going really damn well.
That's awesome.
So 80%.
I read a cartoon recently and the caption was... I don't want to be alone. I want to be left alone. And the nuance there is really nice, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kunal?
Yeah.
Do you relate?
So my motto for a while has been people are the worst. And it's kind of held up pretty well. So I can empathize with the desire for solitude for sure. I don't think I've been as thoughtful as Helen has about... kind of living the life I want. I think moving to San Francisco was the start of that, or of recognizing that I'd kind of like run my course in New York, like creatively and from an environment standpoint, and was just trying to spread myself too thin with the network that I had out there. And so the things I've tried to be more thoughtful about since coming out here have been spending more time with fewer people, and learning and making more. So taking a lot more workshops or classes, doing more stuff by hand. So I took like a woodworking workshop. I just finished a 10-week lettering workshop. And I think if I was living the life I want, I would be making more time for art and making more time to produce work that has my personality or like my voice in it, given that I work in a place where it's easy for my voice or personality to get drowned out or
so
it's not
saying,
necessarily like needed.
Are you saying that like your voice is not material design? Is that what you're? No. Learn more and make more. More time with fewer people. These are like actionable things.
Yeah,
and they lead to Kunal living the life he wants to live. Again, I'm forgetting the question.
Yeah.
Do these things add up to what we talked earlier about? Describe yourself. What again was the question? I know the word real was
real.
Introduce yourself with real honesty.
Yeah.
Do these things add up to the way you described yourself or introduced yourself?
With real honesty.
Sort of. I think they would. You asked earlier, like, what would you change? Mm-hmm. You know, to like come back, you know, if you introduce yourself one way or like what would change? And I think finding my kind of rhythm and voice as an artist would help me answer that question. Because I know that the kind of work I want to be making are things that make people a little bit more thoughtful and a little less serious.
Right.
You know, like
I like that criteria.
Yeah.
That really is cool.
So, and I haven't found a way of committing myself to doing that while also trying to advance in my, I'm going to use air quotes, career.
Kunal was killing it with that answer. I love the thoughtful, more thoughtful and not as serious.
I like not as serious. That's something we could all use, especially now for some reason in America.
Yeah, well, the pairing of it was good, right?
Yeah.
You said more thoughtful.
More thoughtful.
Less serious.
Less serious.
Because you think at a gut reaction that you would equate thoughtfulness and seriousness as the same thing.
Yeah.
Or close cousins. But you're using them as a dichotomy of each other, which is, I like that part of it. More thoughtful, less serious.
Lose, you look thoughtful. And also serious right now.
Less serious, sorry. Less serious. Less serious.
What's question number four on our...
Four is how close to your life goal that you had 10 years ago are you today?
Oh, wow.
If you had a life goal 10 years ago.
Are you telling me you didn't?
Mine was get rich.
There you go. Well, how close are you to that, Los?
Well, what is rich?
Wow. Like
my value of rich was monetary when I was
10 years ago.
I don't measure it in dollars or currency.
You've moved the goalpost. Mm. So let's talk about you, Los. Are you rich?
I am rich. Okay. I have a beautiful family that I love and adore. Mm-hmm. And like seeing my children, seeing them have a smile on their face, mm-hmm. like that just brings richness into my life. And so, yes, I am rich.
I think your family brings richness into my life too. they're wonderful. So, I took them to a theme park recently.
Well, yeah,
we had so much fun.
They're fun. So to answer the question, right? Like, what was the question? Are you close to your goals you had
10 years ago?
Well, monetarily, like I wanted to be like a gazillionaire.
Okay,
right back when I was 19. But nah, that's not a thing right now. You know, mm-hmm. like.
Right.
Like the vocabulary rich just changed over time.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if that'll be the same in 10 years.
Have your goals shifted in 10 years?
Yeah, I don't think I like dreamed very big when I was a kid.
No.
I was like, I just want to travel. Which I guess I'm doing.
Yeah,
like that's what
you do a lot.
But I mean, that's not an interesting goal at all, nor is it a purpose. So I don't think I ever really had like a goal. I think some people have like missions, like I want to help people. Uh-huh. I'm still trying to figure mine out. I'm in the process of doing that. And I think, you know, that's a growing process, like figuring out what you really value, and like, you know, where that matches amongst your strengths as well. So I don't know. I haven't figured out my goal yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll come back in 10 years.
Maybe will ask me in 10 years, and I'll have a better answer.
That's good.
And we'll have an episode. We're like, remember this? And we'll play it back.
Yeah, yeah. Like Helen's third appearance on the show. 10 years ago, what did you want to be doing?
10 years ago, I was 18.
Okay, when you're 18 years old, what would success look like for
me at 28?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well,
what would, yeah, that's the question I asked you.
Yes. Well, success would look like me being married,
mm-hmm.
probably having a kid,
aww.
And probably living in Utah, mm-hmm. Salt Lake.
That's where you grew up.
Which I love, which is where I'm from. And having, I didn't know what I wanted to do at 18, but be appearing successful.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I assumed I would make money, but like the appearance of success, I think, was a thing.
It's like a mustache then.
Yes, I had one earlier this year. Finally got to it, so I'm right in line.
Check
right,
that box.
Like, 18-year-old Chaz is like, yes.
Yeah, so my life is, I'm quite a ways away from what I thought, what some of my goals were,
mm-hmm.
I would say. But I feel like I'm aligned with what I most valued, which was an integrity to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And always trying to follow that. I've always felt that I was I respected what I felt, mm-hmm. and I went all the way.
Where does that come from?
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just something that I feel like I grew up with.
Okay.
I tried hard. I tried hard and had integrity with what I.
Right.
With the things that I valued. And I don't know. But, and I feel like today I'm doing that. It just doesn't look the same way because values have changed. Behaviors I wouldn't have predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. The mental exercise of like, what would your 10-year ago self say to you? Would he be like pumped?
Surprised. Surprised, but proud, I think.
Good.
Yeah, I really think so.
I think that's something to be proud of. I don't think everybody can say that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Everybody's like thinking about, have I upset my younger self?
Yeah.
Have I let me down?
Well, I think for me, the sort of high level goal is somewhat similar. Just the medium has changed. Like 2007, I had recently finished architecture school. So I was still working in the field. And I got into it for many of the same like trite reasons that students, young people are drawn to architecture. It seems like a great way to kind of like leave a mark on the world.
Yeah.
And like, create a statement that is going to last longer than you do.
Or this podcast server.
Yeah. and I think I still look at design as like a beautiful way to do that. But the shorter term goal back then was probably like, I went to grad school thinking I was going to make Flash websites
nice.
For the next 10 years of my life.
Right.
Like, I was like, Flash is amazing. This whole new medium. I was amazed by how many more people I could reach with my work digitally than the apartment I was designing on the Upper West Side for like a rich old white couple. I got to work on a project for a kids museum in Mexico. And that kind of stuck with me of like, wow, people so far away from me are going to get to engage with something that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that sort of became the new romantic appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think me 10 years ago would be wondering where Flash went, but would be happy that I'm still trying to like reach that's people good. Through design.
Right. And that's, that jives with what you were saying earlier about, your goals are to like, learning different things and making different things, and the medium has moved on.
Yeah.
But you still have that essential part of yourself is still vibrant. So young Kunal would be like, that's us. It's like looking in a mirror. What do we got next on that list, Chess?
Next is, what do you do when no one is watching?
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. Travis, podcast, why don't you over. Take this
No.
Travis,
no.
Give me that answer.
Taxes. I do taxes. All of them. Honestly.
Really honestly.
I report them all.
So the next question is something we've kind of already touched on a lot, which is, are you doing, working, what you do best?
Hmm. What you do best.
Yeah. Are you doing what you do best?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an interesting question because something I've thought about, I don't know if I've lived true to it, but is that sometimes what you're immediately good at might hold you back from what you could be best at, but you aren't right now.
Hmm.
You know, like, so your easiest immediate strength, which you can definitely use right now, is more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And prevents you from...
You're not saying that you're separating that from it being the best. You're saying that because it's the best now, it may not be what you're...
What you have the greatest potential in.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a link between what people are good at and what they like to do. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily that they get good at the things they like. Usually, and this is like based on, who's the fellow that did the deep work thing? Cal Ripken,
yeah,
says that, is that a baseball player?
Cal Newport. Is the baseball player.
Oh. Yeah, that's a baseball player. I'm talking about Cal Newport, which is an author.
Cal Ripken.
California says that it's the things that you get good at that you grow affinity for.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Just by nature of being good at them. So you're given this proposition right now of, is there something that you could be best at? Am I saying it wrong? That, yeah. I'm mixing them all up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That you're focused on right now, the thing that you're good at.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
How could you tell the difference? Like, how would you know that you're not the best at the thing that you're not current? How would you know that you could be the best at the thing you're not currently doing?
Good question. Just a vibe, you know, for me. Just like...
you feel that vibe?
I do a little bit, yeah. I'm not, like, I'm a good designer.
Yeah.
I'm a good designer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a great designer at times.
That was nowhere in your description of your favorite job or the best job available to you in the last episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I know there are, I have certain capacities that are not being used. Some of them like at all.
Mm.
And I don't know the job that would fit those. I don't know where that is or how to get there. But like, I know I have a lot of potential with these other parts of me. That I'm not using right now. So,
yeah,
that's
a hint.
It's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, so I'm good at this right now. I'm good at designing. So it's easy for me to keep designing because that's clear,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know where to go or how to get there to start firing on all cylinders of who I am.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about on this side of the table? Are you guys doing what you do best?
I think my current position uses parts of me that I enjoy discovering. And so I enjoy understanding management. I enjoy what that brings out in me. I enjoy all of the things that I'm learning about other people and me. But making use of my best strength, nah.
What's the best strength that's not being flexed?
I'm hyper resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times management is really about consistency and not so much about resourcefulness. So I used to run my own business and I loved it. The hours passed by and I didn't feel them. It was amazing. And that was, I think, the first time where I was saying to myself, this is what it's like to run a business. This is what it's like to have income. that isn't dependent on another person. And it felt amazing.
Was that a design-related business?
No. No.
What was the content vertical of the business?
It was
industry. I just said content. Yeah, industry is what I was looking for. Thank you, Chaz.
I actually had like a photography.
Photography business. Photography. Is that why you get mad when...
So you're just a photographer?
I was mad.
Why? Because I pushed a shutter button? Is that what you think? Don't label me, man.
But pay me for that shutter button.
Yeah. Please
that'll
pay
be $5,000.
So what was the question? No. I'm like a hyper-generalist.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. It's probably not making use of like what I enjoy, but also what I'm best at.
Yeah.
Which is like, you put me in a really unclear situation and I'm really good at figuring out what to do and being really calm about it.
That's admirable. Some people freak the freak out. I think it's not fair to expect your employment to tap every one of your hot buttons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd say you're right. Yeah. I think there's such thing as good enough. You reach like the 80%.
Yeah.
And then maybe the rest of your life fills up the... I mean, also like how ridiculous would it be if we were to expect that all of our jobs fills us up like 100%? Like what about the other parts of your life? Like Lois is talking about his family. That's totally fair. That's obviously filling a really big bucket for you because it's a value of yours. And so if you don't value work filling up your self bucket so much, I think that's totally fine.
But they should be trying to maximize your potential at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like I'm a big sports fan. Mm-hmm. I equate like everything back to sports, and I've been thinking a lot about like work in this context.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the NBA right now, the two players who are likely to be named like the most valuable players in the league, like the two top contenders, both saw their roles shift dramatically this year from where they were last year. And there was a change in circumstances for one of them. Like the other important player on that team left. And so they were forced to assume a bigger burden and sort of given the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other case, someone who was really good at their job and the skill set and had built an outstanding career for themselves doing this one thing were asked to change roles,
mm-hmm.
and be more of a facilitator when they had been more of like an IC type. Mm-hmm. They moved from like shooting guard to point guard. So now they had to facilitate the whole offense while still doing the thing they used to be good at.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a force multiplier. Like they became a lot better, and it unlocked like new potential for their teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And so much about... Or I think like sports teams, professional teams, there's so much money involved that there's so much attention paid now to how do we maximize the value of the talent that we have? What are things strategically we can do? Who are the coaches that we hire? Like, how do we strategically think about the kind of employees we want to bring in on like such a more focused level than I've seen like other industries do?
Sure. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, like that's the mark of good management.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's one thing to care about an individual's career and progress. It's another thing to take what they care about and then multiply it across the entire team. Like, mm-hmm. how do I level up the team together? And how do I level up this individual as well? But I think there are perhaps some traits that don't have necessarily a place in certain... I think Shopify does make use of perhaps my resourcefulness in certain ways. We have a very chaotic environment and maybe things are a little bit unclear. So that really does speak to that skill set. But do I use it daily? Nah. Like, management is consistency. And it's a marathon. And I see my results over the course of 6 years... Like, 6 months, sorry. Or, like, 12 months. So does that really speak to that? Nah, not really.
I've always resonated with this, something that Todd Henry said. Todd Henry is the guy that does a podcast called Accidental Creative.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, It's not the responsibility of your employer to make sure that you're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like is a catch-all for like, you know, that you're being used the right way or that you're, mm-hmm. that you're feeling creative or that you're even, you know, whatever. Like, it's completely your responsibility. And Would they be a better manager if they were to facilitate that? Absolutely. Would it be a better manager if they were like use you in the right way? Yeah. But it comes down to you. And this is maybe like a self-preservationist kind of like perspective. But like your career is like much longer than your relationship with your peers or your manager or that position or that job or that project. And I don't know, that's always been like if there's anybody that's going to be Travis, it's Travis. You know, so I can Travis harder than anyone can Travis. So I just need to look for people who can kind of spin that and direct that. But ultimately, it's my responsibility to be Travis. Next question. Why are you shaking your head?
Well, next question is, do you want to tell us about it?
Do you want to tell us about
I really it? Expected the number five to be a yes, no. So, so I got a consistent, well, for me, it was a no. Helen, it was a no. Kunal?
Yeah, for me, it's a, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
I forgot the question.
Yeah.
Are you doing what you do best?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, question seven is, it gets talking about the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, okay. We're into the product review now.
We're into the bag
now. Talk about the bag anyway.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to talk about the bag?
Let's talk about that. I think that's a great way to end the show. We're at 30 minutes.
What the bag is. Let's talk about it.
There were multiple bags.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a range of bags.
What's the question?
The thing that makes you, air quote,
the thing about the bag.
The bag.
Oh, the fact that it doesn't exist, yet we're talking about it all night long.
The bag has a lot of depth to it.
The questions that preceded me getting this bag. No, that's who's the only one that has the bag here? Kunal?
No, we each have bags,
but they were different bags.
Different bags. Okay.
Yeah. Equally bagged.
Wait, so this is not a real company. I just said, like, if you got different bags, it's not a thing. Someone's just mining us for our information.
It's like an Adidas bag.
they didn't just get different styles. They got entirely different brands.
Yeah, it's like an Adidas bag, like a K-Swiss bag.
Hey, that's a good way to do product research. Right? Like, I'm starting a bag company. Let me give people one of these bags and pretend like I'm that company and ask them why they don't like it. Yeah. And then make a new one and be like, it's better than that brand's bag because of...
Yeah. After the person has like healed from their existential crisis of your...
Maybe that's the strategy. Let's destroy this person's soul.
Yeah.
And then they'll just buy anything.
This is a soul fixing bag.
People will do anything to relieve their anxieties.
Yes.
Maybe this is a marketing initiative research thing. So he's going to find out how to destroy us, right?
Or she.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry, okay. Helen. Did you just assume
okay.
Someone's like...
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Liz can't breathe.
I messed up. And then the website will really target us. Hey, do you not really think you're a designer?
Chaz.
Buy this bag for $49.99.
Here's the conflicted designer bag.
Yeah. Yeah. It says that in big, bold lettering.
Buy this bag to do what you do best.
There's like a pouch for pencils, or is there? All right. I think we're gonna close shop. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Late Nights with Chaz, Kunal, Helen, Los, and Trav in the late of the nights. Thank you guys so much for showing up.
Hey, thank you for having us.
All right, good night, everyone. You know how to find us. You guys delivered. Wow.
That was fun to get to know you all.
Yeah.
Helen and Taylor, you know. You know that New York Times article that said like 32 questions to ask? That's what we did.
That's true. Oh, the falling love
gonna,
one.
I'm going to leave this knowing that I'm firmly in love with four other strangers.
Aww.
Thanks, guys.
Firm.
Firmly in love. Why did you guys? I didn't go there. I was just like, no, not with me. I didn't do it.
It's been not, several, not several things you've said.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll give you one, but yeah, yeah, yeah. You know
what? No.
Yeah, you made like five comments that. Do we have to remember? Do we have to remember the jacked in? Like, do we have
jacked in? Was
oh
yeah, that's explicit. Right. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it shouldn't have been a thing that was said.
It's a thing, guys. Trust me.
Kunal, I think I sprayed water all over you.